I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The number to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. The other day I was going through my Facebook post and I noticed a person who said that I'm soft on Black Lives Matter and that I needed to wake up and get on the right side of history with what's happening. And, you know, when I see stuff like that, I often wince. And the reason why is because, you know, I hate it when people try to think for me or they try to pin a political ideology on me, and I get equally annoyed at people who feel that their views are always on the right side of history. It's not always the case. I had somebody come to me once. He said, "Oh, man, I really love your voice." And I said, "Oh, thank you." He says, "I'd love to have you. I'm going to do a college documentary." I said, "Oh, what on?" And he says, "About how the Democrats have always been on the right side of history." I looked at him and says, "What?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "The Democrats have always been on the right side of history, and I want you to do voice it." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to voice anything political. Thank you very much. And I think you need to go through history and understand that there were a lot of things that the Democratic Party was involved with that certainly today they would deny." And this was like years ago, right? And so, you know, I always tell people, you know, if we want to talk about history, history is not decided who's right and who's wrong, at least if it's good history and it's written well. I mean, history is reviewed over time and then it's set in stone only when the topic has been mythologized and then agreed upon by some unknown authority. I mean, the bad guys are the bad guys and the good guys are the good guys, depending on who you read and how you read and where you are and how you are. I mean, I know that the media wants to be the orators of history, but of course, their views are motivated politically. And I don't know if any of us are going to live long enough to piece together what is left of history as our total recall is beginning to falter, which, again, gives the media an opportunity to make history in their own image. And I've seen that before. You go to CNN and they do these, remember the 60s, remember the 70s, remember the 80s, and they go back and they try to clean up a little bit, make it all Hollywood, make it all, you know, too good to be true. It's like many of us know what the 60s were about. We didn't even live through the 60s because of the TV shows we see, the movies we've seen, how they try to shape the 60s and the 70s. I mean, the 80s aren't really looked upon as anything but a time where we all were laughing and dancing and singing and, you know, going to Star Wars movies and Kiss concerts. It's, you know, that Motley Crue concerts. I don't know. It's like, you know, some people are going to say that, you know, if you look back at history, history in the United States has never been clean. Now, that's a little truth that I can share with all of you. History has never been clean. It's never been tidy. And the fact that we have managed to maintain a modicum of civility up until now is miraculous, I think, because, well, arguably, some will say that there really has not been any civility in the United States. However, I can safely say that we have not edged ever closer to a civility war or this overwhelming war. Coming close, though. I mean, here we are in the modern era, and what are we doing? We're fighting over the same thing we fought over back in the 1800s. The idea of American civility and whether or not we're civil to each other has been debated with, well, in the legal world since the early 70s, when judges and lawyers grew concerned with unruly courtrooms and popular impressions that their profession was stacked with crass, win-at-all-costs opportunists and sharks looking for blood. The late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who passed away today at the age of 87, would probably agree with that statement. But there are a lot of people, win-at-all-costs opportunists, that get within the law and they're looking for blood and they chase their ambulances and they go after the victims. Well, there's blood all over America right now. And the sharks are still gathering. However, there are a majority of Americans that want to jump out of the water, that want to get out of these murky waters where the blood is and where the sharks are gathering. That's the whole thing. It's trying to get out without being attacked. Sparked by the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, the United States has been forced to face an honest conversation about racism. And since the death of George Floyd, you can't escape the concerns and the conversations that center on race and race relations in this country. And it's not a bad thing. In fact, I think it's beneficial that we always keep in mind that we have to be better to one another. The people of color are profiled, targeted, and brutalized in society. Regardless how tiring the conversation can get, we have to address this issue, but we have to do it with cool heads. We have to do it in places where things are going to get done, not in the streets. But there's this other issue. That's what I want to get to, is this issue that has reared its head And that is the conspiracy by the media and others with deep pockets to focus their attention on extremism, to create color revolution in order to force a quick exchange of power that leaves everyone of all colors, creeds, whomever, in the crosshairs of a massive takeover that will destroy the United States and its cornerstone, which is the Constitution. Now, I want to be clear that while I make an attempt tonight to demonstrate the greater conspiracy, it has to be said that racial injustice, bigotry, and prejudice, like most social pathologies, are an irrational social force that has dogged our species since the origins of society. And while we can study it, we can observe it, we can decry it, but the dynamics of it, where a man despises his neighbor, seemingly defies common sense. I'm talking about his neighbor of color, his neighbor of other countries or other like Latino, it covers everybody. And in a well-intentioned effort to solve the intractable problem of this horrible thing called racism, we now see and we use racism, at least the politicians do, they use it for a political football. They use it as a political tool. We're constantly reminded that racist malevolence is often fomented by a far-reaching conspiracy of cultural terrorists. Now, if you're able to speak with people with color or of color and are not hung up on the newfound militant nature of race discussions, you'll find that most of the anger and the so-called racist issues that are brought up in the media are from a selected body of so-called experts who earn a very big paycheck from interpreting everything that the far right is doing as veiled racism or white supremacy. Now, typically, these organizations reside in the upper echelon of the nonprofit variety of these NGOs, which present an onerous problem as their financial existence is closely tethered to the rise and fall of ethnic intolerance. And one cannot help but question the objectivity of these so-called experts and who's backing them financially. Now, recently there was this exchange, okay? There was a kind of a glaring example of how persuasive or how pervasive the whole exercise has become. Newt Gingrich appeared on Fox News. He was on a show called Outnumbered with host Harris Faulkner. And he was there to comment on the violence in American cities. Now, he was a former House Speaker, Newt Gingrich, and he basically said, he blamed, actually, George Soros' money for violence in America. He said it's George Soros' money that's the reason for the violence in American cities. And then what happened? As he was talking about Soros being the backer of all this violence, there were two panelists on the TV show with Harris Faulkner who basically shut him down. Give a listen to this. This is the exchange. Very awkward.
Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody, Harris. Right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing, anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem. And both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
he paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to...
Awkward.
Okay, we're going to move on.
Awkward.
Historic day at the White House. We covered it.
Awkward. Very awkward. Listening to that, it's just an awkward moment. And then, of course, there was an apology the day after for not letting Gingrich finish. The apology was kind of hollow, I guess. But as you can see, I mean, the apology that Harris gave the next day was backed with, we don't censor, but They do. They did. And it's just another way to water down the propaganda and pretending that the media is not responsible for perpetuating the same us against them propaganda they've always been pushing. You know, it's often been said that people were shocked when they watched Nazi Germany descend into complete fascism without anyone putting up a fight. And now we're watching Americans do the same thing. It has a lot to do with the constant brainwashing and the propaganda being shoved on people every day, all day, manipulating them into being compliant with what anything the government commands. And, you know, and this is all about, it's all started with COVID-19. It started with COVID-19, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? They're taking the power from the people, and the people don't have a say. And this is repercussions for it all. This is malfeasance. This is letting things stack up for a reason of shattering and decimating what we have as Americans. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.